my leader every week. I thought she must hate me. Hates me very much. But now, guess what? I was not the beloved one. I was not the favorable one. Otherwise, I couldn't be who I am now. Like I said, I might have become very self-centered or very spiritually fragile. I'm glad I'm not the favorable one. However, later on, this crew leader and I become very good friends.
Amen.
And that happened over 20 years ago. Wow. And she is still one of the leaders that I respect most. When I have been through rough times and hardships, including difficult relationships, I feel like I can't breathe and feel like heavy-hearted. Have you ever felt that way? Very heavy-hearted, just can't breathe at all. At that time, I sought desperate help from the true shelter, not Baba. The true shelter, not a perfect mentor like Baba. I prayed, I fast a lot, fast for 40 days, fast, prayed, I dove in the Word of God. It's truly not easy. Have you ever been in that situation? Will you go to your bed and get some sleeps? Or you go run to your friends and get some comfort? Or you will go to pray and fast and dove into the words of God? If you do this, you might not feel the instant comfort from your friends or from the one who understand you most, but however, you could be refined, set free from those hard feelings.
Excuse me.
Many humble sisters getting into the room for learning how to be
sorry.
It's okay. You're very welcome.
Okay.
And as I said, you will be refined, set free from those hard feelings.
Excuse me, actually.
And yet, I have seen many people die spiritually when they encounter difficult relationships. That bitterness or hatred grew up when they were unprepared. Have you seen that? Have you seen that in your Bible talk, in your ministry, in your sector? That people will die spiritually when they encounter some difficult relationships and they were just unprepared. I mean unprepared to fight for their own relationship with God. And were unprepared to love one another. Even they got hurt. Sometimes I think loving one another meant to be hurt some of the time. But if we are not prepared for that, we will get attacked by Satan.
That's right.
In fact, in some sense, to Jesus, we are some kinds of difficult relationship for him.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
He never quits. And I guess he is prepared to love at all costs.
That's right.
Are we like him? Jesus once said in the Bible, Matthew 17:16-17, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, How long shall I stay with you?
Come on.
How long shall I put up with you? We are some difficult relationship for him, our Lord Jesus. He needs to put up with us. Are we willing to put up with others when we feel difficult? In all deep relationship we have had in our Christian lives, to a certain extent, there will be some difficulties, more or less, if we are not superficial. If we are not being superficial in relationships, there must be difficulties. And in fact, apparently, there are difficulties in all kind of relationships, like husband and wife, parents and children. Who are you married? And any of you married here in this room? Okay. Most of you are singles. Okay. Who are your mothers here in this room? Okay. There are difficulties in all kinds of relationships. Husband, wife, parents and children, there are always lessons for both parties to learn. That means we grew together in Christ through differences we have had and the mistakes that we have made. Sometimes sins we have committed that are against each other. Be prepared and have faith to be refined in difficult relationship. My second point, faith to seek something good, perfect.
Come on.
Faith to seek something bigger than you and I. Let me ask you something. What makes God's kingdom different from this world? You may name many things that we are different from this world, God's kingdom. But to me, what makes God's kingdom different from this world? Nothing is more powerful than we are having faith.
That's right.
As a disciple, sometimes you think, oh, we have many limitations, many constraints, we cannot do this, we cannot do that. But to me, what makes God's kingdom different from this world? Nothing is more powerful than we are having faith.
Man.
We are not a bunch of perfect disciples, perfect people treating each other nicely, perfectly. But instead, we are willing to sometimes struggle to stay humble and use God's way to love and to forgive. And we strive for becoming a different person who is more and more like God through faith. Isn't it the very things that we want?
That's right.
We are not looking for some place make us feel comfortable, like enter Disneyland. Sometimes I tell the young Christians in my sector that you are not getting baptized into Disneyland.
<Right.
laughs> Wake up! We are in a spiritual battle.
That's right.
When I first got into the full-time ministry, I was 22. I started to lead a sector at the same time. I didn't know how it worked. I guess it worked by making tons of mistakes.
That's right.
In the first 10 years of a leader, I always felt like I had to give the perfect answer to my Bible taught leaders and my disciples. Have you ever feel that way? You have to give perfect answer to your disciples. I feel like I needed to persuade them to do what is right. I try hard to help them make some spiritual decisions. And I spend hours in the talks with them. And wishes they could be right with God. I guess I was doing that in my first 10 years or more in my Christian life, in my Christian life when I was when I start my full-time ministry as a leader back then. There's a book named Spiritual Mentoring. One thing that it mentions, sometimes we don't allow sufficient time for people to have their struggles. Or we too much want them to do what we think is good and spiritual. It is because it threatens the little peace in our hearts.
Come on, Crystal.
That's what it says. That truly challenged my leadership when I read this. I asked myself that, do I protect the little peace in my heart that make me rush people when they are in their struggles? It challenged my little faith indeed. Do I protect the little faith, the little peace in my heart that make me rush the sister around me to make a good choice, a spiritual decision? Then I asked myself, will God allow time for people to struggle?
That's right.
In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Amen.
So what's the way out of our little faith? Jesus spent the whole night to pray.
That's right.
Whole night praying to God before he calling his disciples to him and chose the 12 of them. What is Jesus' solution? Jesus wants God to be in the relationship between he and the disciples. This is Jesus' solution. This is Jesus' way. He prayed overnight. He wants God to be in the relationship. God in the relationship between you and your disciple, I learned that peace will not come to my heart when problem got quick fixed.
That's right.
But instead, there is peace at my heart when God is there between any relationships.
That's right.
If we have faith that God is between any relationship, that help us to love and to let go at the same time. I think it's very hard for especially women, mother, to love and to let go at the same time, not to be controlling. I know it's very hard for us Chinese and Asians. We always know what is best for our kids and others. That's our love language, doesn't it? I guess we need to learn a language expressing in humility.
That's right.
To love and to let go at the same time. It takes faith to accept people to choose a different path from yours.
That's right.
It's easy to say, but it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
To accept people to choose a different path from yours.
Yeah. Yes.
Mom, can we do this? When we learn to love and yet to let go, we will be at peace and at ease when we couldn't give a perfect answer to people. Also, we wouldn't be tempted to rush our disciples to do the right thing when she doesn't have sufficient faith of her own or even different faith as ours, as mine. If she, it's easy for us to think she doesn't have sufficient faith of her own. It's not easy for us to think she has different faith as mine, from mine. We have to let people to struggle through their lack of faith.
That's right.
Then it becomes her personal and unique faith in God.
Amen.
She could build her personal relationship with God. Next year, it will be the 30th anniversary of Hong Kong Church.
Wow.
For 30 years, I have been a disciple for 27.
Wow.
There have been ups and downs in the history of our church, like all of you have experienced in your local church. There are many valuable lessons in the history of the past decades. We all get more matured and are still maturing in Christ. After all those years, I found that discipling is an attitude.
Yes.
It's an attitude more than it's a position.
Yes, that's right.
When what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter who your discipler is or who your disciples are.
That's right.
What matters most is who you are.
Yes.
What you would contribute in any group wherever you go.
Amen.
When the position changed, you are still you.
Amen.
It doesn't depend on DP or leadership's responsibility, but faith and character. We would give our best and contribute our best part to make others succeed and concern the least if I am a successful discipler or leader or not.
That's right.
Then you will have faith to encourage people to walk a different path from yours. Sometimes we just worry too much of making things right or how I'm doing as a leader or discipler. But if you grab the faith, you accept people walk a different path from yours. As we could see, the 12 disciples of Jesus turn out very, very different in their personalities. They make different choices in their lives. Someone grew to be a very influential leader in the gospel. Someone sadly lost his faith and committed suicide. Someone stayed in Jerusalem. The other choose to bring the gospel far, far away to the Gentiles. Every one of them grew differently, but they all have the same disciple.
Amen.
Jesus is still Jesus wherever he goes.
Amen.
Jesus didn't force Judas or even Peter from falling. The 12 disciples grew differently, but they have the same disciple.
Amen.
I mean, what kind of attitude and quality of leadership that you would contribute into the body of Christ that brings a unique spiritual culture and character in your Bible talk, ministry, and your church.
Amen.
Jesus chose the 12 that form a unique culture that the first century church had. Have you ever thought of if he chose another 12?
Yeah.
That might bring other characteristics to the first century church. So I mean, every one of us is helping to form a spiritual community of Christ in your Bible talk, ministry, and church. Something that is just bigger than you and I.
Awesome.
If so, things like my leader and I, my difficult disciple and I, my terrible Bible talk and I, it's not the core concern anymore, if you got my point.
Yes.
Sisters, let's be willing to keep maturing and growing even with difficult relationships. We need that sometimes. As the Bible says, let both weeks and wheat grow together until the harvest. Walking by faith, we all could be refined in the Christ and seek something bigger than you and love you all, my sisters. See you around in the conference. Now Joyce is going to share with us. You will walk with me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sisters. And thank you so much, Crystal, for an awesome lesson. Crystal and I have a more than 20-year relationship, you know. So when she was sharing about walking to faith, I was so eager to learn from her. I love your point, especially about walking in faith during difficulty. And as leaders, we will all have difficult times some days, right? But especially your point about, the second point about just being the same no matter what. And that's the thing I love about Crystal. Is it for me? Oh, I have to slow down. Okay, so sorry. Okay. The thing that I love about Crystal, I have known her when we were single star.
Wow.
And then when we were newly married, and then we were parents. Sometimes in our ministry life, we are fired up. Sometimes we go through difficult times. Our youngest child was just baptized this year. But to me, Crystal remained the same woman who loved God and loved her women. So I respect you a lot for that, you know. So, amen. So for me, I'm Joyce from the Singapore Church. I have been a Christian for 30 years. I got baptized in 1987. It's a long time ago, right? Okay. And now I work with very young, wonderful women. I am with the youth ministry in Singapore. So, amen. Keep me young.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just want to thank all of you who are here to learn to have a healthy and loving disciple, or to be a healthy and loving discipler. It really warms my heart to see women of God. I mean, there's so many classes you can attend, you know, about how to be a, you know, healing class. I look at all, so many things we could have attended, but we chose to be here to learn, you know, to be able to help other women.
Yes.
I'm still learning. I know Crystal will say the same. You are still learning. And you're very humbled to be used by God to teach you all today. Special appreciation to all the Vietnamese sisters who are here. I see the whole gang here. And they're awesome sisters. I have a lot to learn from them. Okay? So my point is, You will walk with me. Crystal taught us from the scripture how to walk by faith. I'll be talking about walking with me. And where better to learn how to have a loving and healthy discipling relationship than from our Lord Jesus. So today, we will study a passage from the gospel where Jesus walked along with two disciples. And he showed us, by his powerful example, his amazing relationship with them. So we will learn from the Lord himself, okay? So my passage will all be taken from the book of Luke chapter 24. So you don't have to flip your Bible. You just keep your Bible in Luke 24 from verse 13 onwards. Okay? So I shall read the English version. Verse 13. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Jesus. I want us to imagine this, sisters. This was right after the weekend of the crucifixion. Probably the darkest moment in Christianity. Probably the faith of these two men were at the lowest ever. They had seen Jesus performing miracles, preaching amazing lessons, but their Lord was no more. Their Lord was a helpless victim on the cross. Couldn't even save himself, let alone take care of anything else. Now, we all know if these two men had remained in Jerusalem a bit more, they probably would have witnessed the resurrected Christ with the other disciples, right? But they were leaving Jerusalem. They were going to Emmaus. The Bible tells us they were going to a town 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Why? I very much doubt it was because they wanted to find the answers, they were eager to track the facts. No, these were discouraged men. And later on in the Bible, you read that they actually told Jesus that they were downcast. That's a really sad term, downcast. These were discouraged men who were even too discouraged to remain in Jerusalem. They were about to go, forget it. This is just a lost dream. So we will learn together from Jesus' example how he walked with them. And today I'm going to divide my lesson into three parts. The first part is the gear up. Okay, in English, gearing up means preparation. When you go for a journey, you gear up, you prepare. Okay, my husband and my two boys are athletes. So before they go for a race, they gear up. Yes. My son will play a particular music. You know, he will, I don't know what he chants, but he prepares, okay? The second part of my lesson would be the journey itself. And the third part of my lesson would be called the final destination. So for the first part, the gear up, the preparation of the journey. Let's read again from verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Jesus himself. When I read this passage, I highlighted the verse, himself. The Lord personally came to them. Jesus didn't send anybody else. Many disciples were faithless after that weekend in Jerusalem. But, you know, many of them remained in Jerusalem because they were like, you know, maybe something's going to happen. Jesus did say something about 3 days. We don't know. But these two gentlemen, they gave up. They left Jerusalem. They were probably the most faithless. to the most faithless, Jesus himself personally reached out. He did not doubt it. He did not even go, oh, there are thousands of people in Jerusalem. I could do more in Jerusalem. No, two people left. He said, I will myself go to those people. The Bible says he came up to them. He did not wait for them to come to him. We serve a humble, available God who goes, she needs me, I will go there. Personally, Jesus came up to meet the disciples.
God bless you.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
Come on.
There you go.
Come on.
I need one extra minute.
Yeah.
The Bible says Jesus walked along with them. If you look at the scriptures, he walked along with them. He followed them to Emmaus, even though it was going away from Jerusalem. Jesus didn't come and block them and go, no, wrong way, Jerusalem is back there, you're going the wrong way. No, he decided they were going to Jerusalem. It's a bit like what Crystal was saying. Sometimes they just don't have the faith to go, I am ready to go there. Jesus could have gone, no. But instead, he walked with them. He knew they were not ready. I call this part gear up because in imitating Jesus to be a loving discipler, we need to spiritually, emotionally, and mentally prepare ourselves. Why? Simply because we are sinners, and our sinful nature makes it difficult for us to love naturally. I know myself, sometimes I struggle with laziness, impatience, insecurity, pride, and I know to love like Jesus, I need to be intentional and not expect love to flow naturally along. You know, so Crystal was asking us questions just now. How many of us have ever experienced difficulty in loving people? I think we're all honest, all of us, right? Yeah. All of us, because we're not Jesus. Right. And all of us need to have a gear up. Naturally, no matter how loving we are, we have flaws. You know, in my many years as a leader, at times I am called to disciple someone I am not prepared for, right? Like so many of you here. I remember when I was barely out of the campus ministry, we have Michelle here who's coming up. I was 22 years old and I was told to disciple a mother of two young boys, two young children. The church was very young then and mainly made up of singles like me. She was very busy. She was a professional working mom. She was actually a professor in a university, single-handedly raising up her boys. I was informed as a young leader, 22, that I had to help her with her commitment as she was not coming to meet week regularly and was not part of a Bible talk. And I was also told she was rather intimidating and a bit difficult. Okay. So needless to say, I was not prepared for that. I remember going in with an agenda. I thought, how was I going to get her to agree to have weekly discipleship time with me? She'd probably look at her and go, you're my student's age, you know? How was I ever going to get her to join a Bible talk? What was I going to teach her? I just broken up with a boyfriend. She's got two kids, you know? And what am I going to tell my leaders if they ask me what plans I had to help her to be more committed? What could I say? These thoughts stressed me out so much. I was really insecure about discipling her. Then I thought, bag it. Okay, in English, bag it means forget it, all right?
Okay.
I can't drag her back to Jerusalem okay. when she was not ready, using the Luke 24 term. Let me walk along with her to Emmaus, to get to know her, to hear her stories, to understand her struggles. Never mind if she's not going to be the kind of disciple who go, let's meet at 4 o'clock every week at McDonald's. Back then, we all had our discipling time at McDonald's, right? I will go and really understand her world. And did she teach me so many things? I get emotional thinking about her, okay? Because we had the most amazing discipling time venues. Most of the time, it was at her home. I would walk half an hour into, you know, it's quite far where she lived, but I get nice home-cooked meals, so that was nice, okay? Many times it was swimming pools during her boys' swimming lessons. Many times it was walking her dogs, and I don't even like dogs. I would go to a kindergarten, school concerts, grocery shopping with her, her grocery, not mine, I was a single woman, okay? But believe it or not, before long, discipling time with her became my highlight every week. I always remember Friday, 6 p.m., meet at her place. Now, it took a while before I could actually work on my original agenda. But honestly, by that time, I had forgotten about them. Because when I got to know her, I got to see a most amazing individual who had deep fear and reverence for God, but going through a very, very, very challenging situation that I could not relate to. But I had no doubt with her own relationship with God, and as I did my little bit as a friend and support, and of course a lot of Bible readings, she will come through. You know, I only enjoyed a 2-year relationship with her, a 2-year discipling relationship with her. But today she is one of my spiritual heroes. She actually spearheaded the entire single mom's ministry in Singapore. And we remain best friends.
Oh,
we're 10 years different in age, but I would consider her my top 5 best friends.
Wow.
And I thank God for the discipling relationship.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from the experience. I could really appreciate Jesus' example. A discipling relationship is never meant to be top down. Mm-hmm. Jesus,
It's okay.
went to meet the disciples where they were. And it may be we have to walk a bit with our disciples, even while their destination was still Emmaus. Some of us here are leaders of small groups, or even bigger ministry. Jesus walked with the weakest of all his flock. Do the weakest in our ministry get our personal attention, or do we delegate? Do we go direct to them, or do we wait for someone to set up for us so they come to our doorstep? I get challenged by Jesus, and I want to embrace it. Want to make the decision, whoever is the weakest in the Singapore church, they will get my personal attention. I try my best. I'm nowhere near Jesus. But this example helped me to see if the Lord can personally attend and go to anyone's level, we can all do the same. So let's gear up with the correct mindset when we lead anyone in Christ. Second part, the journey. Let's read on. In verse 17, he asked them, losing my voice, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus in Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the disciples. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since it took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. These people didn't believe, yeah? They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find anyone. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went up to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And that's why we are leaving Emmaus. We are in now. We waited for 3 days. It's not going to happen. We are going away. You see how they were feeling?
Yes.
You know, but look at Jesus. Jesus took time to ask them as he walked with them. So, what are you discussing?
Yeah.
Jesus already knew, right? Yeah. But he didn't rush them. Even when they seemed offended and looked down on Jesus, huh? You don't know? Are you so ignorant? Jesus urged them, what things, go. Jesus let them rattle on their dash hopes, disappointments, cynicism. You can really see the range of negative emotions as they spoke to Jesus. But Jesus took the time to listen. Jesus allowed them to share their doubts. Mm. Then they began to be cynical. Huh? There is no body. Mm. This cannot be true. Those crazy women. Look at what Jesus said. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe at that the prophets have spoken. Do not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And I shall read some more. You know, Jesus took the time to let them voice out their doubts, their fears, their pain. But the moment their mindset and their words came to a point where they stopped believing, Jesus stopped them. Jesus challenged their disbelief. He did not allow them to go on and on and on with their cynicism. And he used the scripture, verse 27, he used the scriptures to teach, to rebuke, and to correct them. Yes, Jesus was a good listener. We can all learn from that. He was patient, but very lovingly and firmly, he corrected their distorted thinking. So if we want to have a healthy and loving discipling relationship, it's not just about going the extra mile, walking to Emmaus, listening, but it's also turning their beliefs back to the truth. I have seen in my own discipling relationships how I can cause harm when I took too long to speak the truth in love to women. I rationalize and make excuses for them, even when they were not really obeying the scriptures. I allowed myself to become sentimental. I have learned that I am far from being a loving disciple if I do not speak the truth to them. And that was one area I really had to repent in my earlier years, learning to be a good discipler. And because by nature, I don't have a particularly strong demeanor or strong voice, I learned to rely on the scriptures and let God's word stir people's heart. There was a time when I went just to practice doing that. Every time I have a DP time, let me open up the scripture, because the Bible has so many things to teach. The Bible is so powerful. It's never about me. It's always about the person's relationship with God. Let God be the one who speaks. Now, even if some of you here are particularly good at, you know, some of you are naturally, like God gave you the gifts where, wow, you can just speak and the words can stab people's heart. I just don't have that talent, you know, but sometimes I'm just amazed how women can just, they just rattle on and almost every word they go, wow, wow, so convicting, right? But even if you have that gift, I want to encourage us, do not use your own words, wisdom or experience. Be mindful to always let the word of God move people's hearts. Fellow disciples, make it our goal to know our scriptures better and incorporate studying the scriptures together in our discipling relationship. Now, we may have made a lot of mistakes in those early years when Missa and I were baby Christians. But one of the things that I know we did a lot better back then is, boy, did we know the scriptures back then. I used to memorize scriptures, really have scriptures everywhere, and we used to use a lot of Bible verses as we talk to one another. I think as a church, we've all grown to be more loving, more kind, more understanding, but we also have to watch that we do not hold back from really encouraging people with God's word, especially when God's truth needs to be spoken. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so much so that, let's read this really awesome part. After, Jesus preached to them, right? Let's continue reading. As they approached the village at which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Oh, stay with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over," and he went in with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts," I want you to think about this line, "were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Wow, talk about the most amazing DP time. Can you imagine that? Their hearts were burning, not just because of what Jesus said, but because the scriptures were speaking so powerfully to them. That was an awesome discipling time, right? Finally, the final destination. And I love Jesus' examples here. You know, the two people's heart was so stirred walking that journey with Jesus. They reached Emmaus. They wanted more of Jesus. Stay with us, stay with us, teach us. And what happened? Jesus disappeared from their sight, just like magic. He's gone. I am so moved by this, sisters. If you've been a fairly good, loving discipler, many times you will find people generally get attached to you and want to be with you and kind of like look forward to being discipled by you. But there must be a point where we know we have to be less and disappear. Because listening to us as disciples plus obeying us is never the goal.
That's right.
They can be good disciples to us and embrace what we teach, but that is never supposed to be anyone's final destination.
Right.
Even the Lord Jesus himself made his exit after he knew that their hearts were stirred enough, their faith lifted up sufficiently enough, their hopes rekindled enough to make their own journeys back to Jerusalem. These two men, the Bible told us, that when they got so stirred, can I read that verse? The Bible says in verse 33, they get up and return at once to Jerusalem. They had enough faith to make their way back to Jerusalem without Jesus. and I can just imagine what great news awaited them in Jerusalem. Because by the time they got back, they would have known, because many disciples would have seen Jesus. Jesus is alive. He is risen. It is as it was told. We must watch that as leaders, as disciples, we must never ever draw people to ourselves. Never take pride in how attached people are to you. Shiver and understand something is wrong when someone only does well when you disciple them and not with anyone else. You may think, oh, that's good news. I am wonderful. Everybody wants to be discipled by me. Something is wrong when they only want you and no one else. Rejoice when after they leave your discipling relationship, they do even better because of their own faith. Can you imagine their own faith? Okay? When the two finally see the risen Christ in Jerusalem, it wasn't Jesus who had to drag them back to Jerusalem. They could tell themselves, ha, I got him. And I walked back 7 miles to Jerusalem. And because of that, I saw everything that's happening in Jerusalem. That is so empowering, right? And even because someone else is able to help them with another stage of growth, it's never about that. If after somebody leaves our discipling relationship, someone, you know, if even our job is to be able to start the engine, start with me, you know, and then start enough for them to go, and then they could soar. And it was because somebody else took them the other path. We need to just go, amen, I have done my little part. Thank you, Jesus, that I can do my little part to walk with them because you taught me how to do so. Sisters, I hope you have been inspired studying out this scripture as I have been. That learning how to gear up, getting insight into the journey, and understanding the final destination will really help us with our discipling relationship. Amen. Thank you.
So we're okay with timing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.